Donald Trump's lies are incessant, habitual, and inescapable, from his false claims about the size of his inauguration crowd to his endless lies about COVID-19. But he's by no means the first president to mislead the public. In the new book, Lying in State, professor and media columnist Eric Alterman asks how we ended up with such a pathologically dishonest commander-in-chief, showing that from its early days, the U.S. has persistently expanded its power on the basis of presidential lies. While these deceptions have had a cumulative effect, Alterman shows how Trump's indiscriminate lying poses a unique threat to our democracy. Eric Alterman is a CUNY Distinguished Professor of English at Brooklyn College and the longtime media columnist for The Nation, and a great pleasure to welcome him back to the roundtable this morning. Eric, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
What brought you to the topic of wanting to look at the state of lying?
It's actually the second book I've written on this topic. The first book I wrote, I published 16 years ago, and that was my doctoral dissertation in history. And that was a study of four presidential lies, because I had this idea, and I think it's turned out to be true, that when a president tells a lie, it traps him, and then it can also trap his successors, because lies build on other lies. And the president ends up addressing the lie rather than the reality, but the reality keeps messing up further and further and gets ignored, and then we have a crisis. But to be honest, I felt I was done with the issue, but then we elected a pathological liar as our president, someone who, according to the Washington Post count, has told 20,000 falsehoods in the 3+ years he's been president. So I knew he was a liar. I grew up in New York. I lived with a guy, and I knew it was dangerous. And I knew that the media were trying to put the best face on things. So I thought, what can my contribution be? What can I say I did in a time that my country faced a crisis? And this is what I did.
You point out in the book, Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, they all lied, and they lied compulsively. How is Trump different?
They all lie a little differently. Trump is different than all previous presidents in two ways. One is he lies about everything. Like Lyndon Johnson lied about Vietnam. He had a Vietnam policy that couldn't stand scrutiny of daylight, so he lied about it. We were losing a war. He didn't want to admit it. He had good reasons to lie. Donald Trump lies because he lies. He lies about everything. It's like every single policy of his is Vietnam. And he doesn't care that you know that he's lying. Most presidents, including Nixon, lied with a very specific goal in mind. Trump just lies for the next 5 minutes. Trump, he had a meeting with the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, and he came out of the meeting and he said, yeah, I lied to him. It was great. I told him that we didn't have a deficit, trade deficit, whatever it was. But he admitted that he lied right after he lied, which destroys the value of lying. So he's really a pathological liar, and he has no respect for truth over lies. It comes in part because he's a strange person, as his niece's recent book described, and in part because he's made his living in the New York City real estate world, where lying is considered, you know, part of the job. But to make that guy president is a real stretch.
So let us talk for a moment, because you bring this up in the book, and I find it really interesting, and that is this idea of our tolerance for presidential lying, of how we, and of course, obviously what we're dealing with now, but through history of when we find out that it's a lie, or if we believe that it's a lie, of what our tolerance is for the commander-in-chief lying to us.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of ways of looking at this. First of all, most people lie a lot more than they are aware of. Lying is kind of part of life. Men lie a little bit more than women, but most people tell a few lies every week, for whatever reason. So lying is not necessarily a bad thing. There's lots of situations where we think it's the right thing to do. Presidents are not really judged on whether or not they tell the truth. They're judged on whether they're successful or not. They're judged to be successful. So if you're lying on behalf of a policy that turns out well, people tend to forgive the lie. You know, Lyndon Johnson told a very similar lie to the one that Franklin Roosevelt told when Roosevelt was trying to get us into World War II and Johnson was trying to get us into Vietnam. One saved civilization, one turned out disastrously. So we look at one president as a hero and one as a liar.
Mm.
The problem, and this is how presidents have been judged throughout history. The problem is that the Republican Party, first beginning somewhat with Reagan and more so with Newt Gingrich, has been taken over by people who have no respect for not merely truth, but reality. And you have this whole right-wing ecosystem of news that lies on their behalf. So the Republicans became addicted to lies. You have to lie if you want to be a successful Republican politician. You can't tell the truth about global warming, for instance, or you won't get support.
Mm.
So part of our politics has become based on lies. And Trump took that and multiplied it fantastically. The most obvious jump was when Trump started lying about Obama's birthplace and became more and more popular, so that a majority of Republican primary voters believed that the president of the United States was a phony, was lying about where he was born, was an illegitimate president. And that's who the Republicans nominated for president. So that was a real dive off the deep end in terms of truth in politics.
And where we're at now with the president getting on nightly once again during the briefings that he gives, supposedly on COVID, but they often start off, as they did most recently, with a riff on mail-in voting. But I'm curious as to when you see the lies that we're hearing now and everything is fine, children are immune to COVID, the football players are big guys, they'll get over COVID, it's not a big deal. I mean, that is lying, right? But it's also incredibly, it seems to me, dangerous and very damaging.
Well, it's always been dangerous and damaging, but only to people who are sort of out of the picture. He was lying about immigrants on the border. He was lying about Puerto Rico after the hurricane there.
Right.
But those people aren't at the center of things. Now he's lying, and we can see the consequences of his lies. People are dying, 160,000 people so far, with many more to come. And the economy is on a precipice with, I don't know, 20% or so employment. And also the lying's been going on for so long. Like I said, the Washington Post counts up to 20,000 since he became president. So there's been a tipping point. And now the media still print his lies and publish his lies, but they also talk about the fact that he's lying. And I think the country has by and large turned against him. He's down to his base, which are people who want to believe his lies or don't care that he's lying. There's been a real, I think, sea change in terms of Republicans who are turning against him, and particularly the consultants and making the internet ads, the Lincoln Project. And I don't know, maybe it's my little world, but the I don't know if you've seen the Sarah Cooper YouTube videos that mock the things that
yes.
he says. He's become kind of a ridiculous figure. I was amazed as a historian last week when the explosion took place in Beirut. And immediately Trump said that he had talked to some really great generals, and they had told him that it was almost certainly a bomb.
Yeah.
And everybody just ignored it because nobody believes anything the guy says. He didn't talk to any generals. It wasn't a bomb. And here the president of the United States is considered this clown who you're not even expected to take seriously. Imagine any other president saying such a thing. It would create an international crisis. But nobody remembers that Trump said it.
I want to get back to something you were talking about, but I can use what you just mentioned as a jumping off point, which is after he said that, there were journalists who went out and said, okay, who were the generals that you talked to? Where went to the White House and to the press office and said, who were the generals? What did they say? And as you indicated, he didn't talk to any generals. There were no generals that he spoke to that said that. Which brings us to the role of the media and in enabling a president to lie. And it seems that all journalists are really on the ropes with this particular president because it's very difficult. The lies are being called out often, as you mentioned, by the Washington Post, who's actually counting them. But you point out in the book that there is this journalistic ideology of objectivity and that there's two sides to every story. But what if one of the sides is a lie?
Yeah, well, that's always been the problem with objectivity. And Trump is exploiting, up till recently, the ideology of objectivity exactly the way Joseph McCarthy did in the 1950s, where McCarthy would say, this guy's a communist, and then the guy wouldn't be a communist. Actually, McCarthy, as it happens, never discovered any communist. And then the reporters would go to the guy and say, are you a communist? And he would say, no, that's ridiculous. And then they would print, senator says he's a communist, guy says he's not a communist. You decide without giving any contextual information to help the reader or the viewer make an informed decision. And Trump has gotten away with that. He still gets away with it. I mean, when he tweets some nonsense, the tweet is often repeated by reputable news services with no context. And then on another page, like you say, the Washington Post, on another page, they'll say, here's something he said was false. But they'll print the falsehood in the first place, as if it's true. You mentioned the Washington Post account. I'm quite partial to the work of one reporter named Daniel Dale. I've never spoken to him. I've never met him. We're not friends. But he was hired away from the Toronto Star by CNN. And he does a brilliant job of watching the lies, not just saying here's a lie, but saying this is the 300th time he's told this exact lie. Here are the circumstances under which he tells it. He pointed out that every time Trump quotes somebody saying, sir, Trump's making it up.
Hmm.
And yet CNN carries the lies as well, most of the time. So there's like a cognitive dissonance going on. And what's missing is context. What's missing is publication or reporting of the president lying and then somebody saying that's a lie as it's happening so that it doesn't have a life of its own. Reporters aren't willing to do that. They're not willing to take on the president that way. And so Trump has this genius for getting away with lying. I mean, he's been doing it all his life and he's perfected it. I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think he just does it by instinct, but it works.
There is great concern, of course, that during the debates that will go unchecked. I mean, we don't know who the moderators are going to be yet, but that goes unchecked. That, and some Democrats even saying that Joe Biden shouldn't even go into a debate situation because it's another chance for him just to spew the falsehoods.
Well, that's certainly what happened with Hillary Clinton. And Trump lied and lied and lied and got away with 99.9% of them. I agree with those people who are saying that. I think that unless the networks are willing to fact check in real time, like on the screen, Biden shouldn't do it because it's impossible to keep up with Trump's lies. It's impossible. We just had part of the turning point that we're witnessing are the interviews where Trump has been called out. The first one by Chris Wallace and the second one of Fox News and Fox Biz. It's not Fox News, it's Fox, which is an important difference.
Yes.
And the second one by Jonathan Ferron of Axios, which got even more attention. And in both of those interviews, Trump got away with dozens of lies, even though he was called out and humiliated on a few of them. No one can keep up with the amount of lies that guy tells. 20,000. He was on Sean Hannity's show one night and told 47 lies in 45 minutes. It's that's his mojo. That's his modus operandi. So, yes, there needs to be some sort of focus on this for the debate. And I hope Biden has the nerve to not. I mean, Biden has a strong lead now, and Trump will say that Biden is afraid to debate him because he's not cognitively all there. And we know that's not true. He's at least as cognitively there as Trump, but probably far more. And I hope he has the courage to lead on his rule. I don't know what will happen then. You know, one reason that Trump's lawyers would not let him speak to the Mueller people is right. that they said out loud he can't speak to these people without committing perjury. He's not capable of it.
Well, and that was the concern, too, even in the early days of the pandemic, that they didn't want him going out because they didn't know what he was going to say and mislead people. But they eventually did it, of course. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm just curious. Does the amount? I mean, we're up to 20,000 by Washington Post standards. If you know, let's just say by election day it's 30,000. I mean, is it? Does that matter?
No, it's like he has enough money. We have enough lies. We know what the deal is, and so many things. I mean, part of the problem is lies, and part of the things is, am I allowed to say a 8-letter obscenity on this show or no?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so there, I identify four kinds of lies that are political lies. One is disinformation, where someone makes a mistake and accidentally disinforms you. That's misinformation. One is disinformation, where they intentionally give you false information. One is called a bald-faced lie, which is a lie so obvious that everyone knows you're lying, and they don't believe you. So it's complicated as to whether or not you're deceiving. And the fourth one is what the Princeton University professor, Harry Frankfurt, called bullshit. And bullshit, and I'm using it as a philosophical term, and if you read my book, yes. I don't use it without putting it in quotes. Bullshit is when you're lying in such a way that you couldn't care less what the truth is. And you're just making stuff up on the fly. And Trump does that all the time, and that's what these conferences are all about. And again, most of the time it doesn't matter. When he's telling you that flushing the toilets too often is bad or that wind power is evil and causes cancer, you know that this guy, it's worrisome. The president of the United States is kind of a clown, but it's not going to change anybody's behavior. But in the case of the virus, it's killer. It kills people who believe it and take Trump's advice and don't wear a mask. And God forbid they drink bleach or take his untested drugs. And the Republican Party lives in terror of Trump, so they don't take him on. And the media, most of the members of the media don't really know what to do about it. They don't know how to handle it. It changes over time from institution to institution. But there's no clear mandate. Even in the elite media, even the media that Trump calls enemies of the people and fake news, they still indulge him enormously because they're terrified of appearing biased, and they don't like to be attacked. And he's really good at attacking them. And also, they don't want to lose the readers and viewers who like the president, which is about between 35% and 40% of the country.
Let us end on what I think it will be a somewhat positive note. Let's talk about the presidents who were not very good at lying.
What do you mean we're not very good?
Meaning that they rarely told outright lies. They could perhaps...
They might have been good at lying. They chose not to. What I find, I don't think it's a positive note. Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama was amazing. Barack Obama literally told 12 falsehoods in 8 years. And he didn't tell any of them twice. And he corrected all of them. Jimmy Carter also told very few falsehoods. Surprisingly, Bill Clinton didn't tell very many either. Few. I was shocked at Clinton's general honesty because he has a reputation as Slick Willie. And he certainly told a big lie and it got him impeached. But the thing is that even historians, much less the public, they don't give presidents really credit for telling the truth. Jimmy Carter would have been a lot more successful had he lied more. with Obama, he was pretty successful. He was very popular when he stepped down. But we elected a guy who everybody knew was a liar right afterwards. So presidents are judged on the basis of whether or not they're successful. And like I said, I've written two books about presidential lying. And the first one, 16 years ago, called When Presidents Lie, I said presidents should never lie. I'm taking that back now. You got to choose your lies very carefully. As I said, it's dangerous for a president to lie because a presidential lie creates its own form of reality that then takes on a life of its own. But sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes people demand it, just the way, you know, parents have to lie to their children sometimes. I lied to my daughter. God knows. So what I think is it's not the job of the press to decide what are good lies and what are bad lies. It's the job of the press to explain the truth as best they can and let the president deal with it. And if the president wants to lie, okay, let him lie, but let him be judged on the basis of those lies. We, as a democracy, we can't really function unless we have a shared understanding of truth. And that's what we're losing in this current era. The president is contributing to it, but the media and our institutions are letting him get away with it. That's what I wrote this book about. And I'm not going to change Trump's mind. He doesn't read books, and he certainly wouldn't read mine. But I'm hoping to move the discourse a little bit on the part of how we handle them.
The name of the book is Lying in State. It is published by Basic Books. Eric Alterman, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. I enjoy it. Bye-bye.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Eric Alterman's new book is Lying in State. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.